You never know exactly who you're going to see, but oftentimes you know exactly who you're going to see, and that's a really good thing. We are joined right now by the head coach of the Washington Commanders. He's the former head coach of the Carolina Panthers. He led them to three straight divisional titles, an appearance in Super Bowl 50, played his college ball at UC Berkeley. Since I'm a UC man, you know I'm all about that. And he is the recipient of the 12th annual Salute to the Service Award presented by the USAA, which we will get into. Ron Rivera is my guest. Ron, it is great to see you. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Jim. I really am. You know, excited about the culmination of this season, because for us, that means we're getting ready to go for 2023.
All right. So how are you feeling about the way the season ended? And what are your thoughts? What's your headspace right now as you get ready to proceed through the offseason? Where are you at mentally?
Well, mentally, I'm at, you know, really the evaluation process. You know, we've done our player evals, our team eval. You know, I'm working on deciding on our next offensive coordinator. I like the things that we did as we finished the season as far as our football team was concerned. Play of our young guys. Probably the biggest thing was we had a lot of young guys that contributed this year. But the big question always seems to be quarterback. You know, we had Sam Howell, started him against Dallas, played very well. Showed us some things, and so we're going to give him an opportunity to show us that he can be QB1. We're going to find out. We're going to find, you know, we'll have a veteran guy that's going to compete with him, that's going to, you know, push him, and we'll find out. We really need to, because that's the one thing I think that, you know, if you can find consistent play from your quarterback, a guy that gives you an opportunity, a chance to win every week, you get a chance to go to the next level.
I really appreciate and respect that answer. So in Sam Howell, do you feel like that's a guy that you can ride with and win with? I mean, obviously, you're going to bring somebody in because he's the only one under contract.
Yep.
Would you be willing to take a big swing at one of the veteran free agents?
No, you know, we worked on something like that last year, and it wasn't for us. I think the big thing we have to understand going forward is let's find, you know, what fits, and let's go from there. We have a young guy that, you know, that had a good college career, came out as a senior. He could have come out as a junior, but came out as a senior and showed us some things. And so we're curious. We have to find out.
Ron Rivera joining us. You mentioned the offensive coordinator position you're looking to fill. The name that's come up is Eric Bieniemy. There's been some reports. He's still working right now. You know, he's got a game coming up this weekend. Can you comment on that? Is that somebody who might interest you?
Well, yeah, he is somebody that interests us, but, you know, because of the rules and the way things are set up, we just have to wait till we get past that game and we'll go from there. You know, he's got to stay focused on the task at hand. But, you know, there are a lot of great candidates out there, really are, and we've gone through this process. We put ourselves in position that we are not going to make a quick decision. We've got a lot of guys to think through. You know, I've talked with a lot of guys. I've interviewed six coaches so far. We brought all six guys. I met all six guys in person, had an opportunity to visit with them, listen to their philosophies. They had a chance to listen to me, and we'll go from there.
So what are you looking for specifically in your coordinator?
Well, what we're looking for is, you know, a change of scheme. We want to work on some things about getting the ball out quick, getting the ball into players' hands early. You know, we want to work around certain different philosophies as far as using your playmakers.
Mm-hmm. Ron Rivera joining us. You know, Ron, let me just switch topics on you. I've said this many times. My father had leukemia. He passed away ultimately. It got into his brain. He had brain surgery, but as painful as that was, I cannot tell you how much I learned watching him and the way he handled it, the way he fought it, the way he attacked the challenge, the dignity and the courage he carried within himself while he went through it. And it stays with me to this day, and it's been decades. I'm curious, what are the lessons you learned from battling and defeating cancer?
Wow. I think the biggest thing is, more than anything else, it is about you have to take care of yourself. But it also starts before you get sick, you know, and that's a little something I've learned. So I've tried to pass that on to people who talked to me and asked me about it. And I said, the biggest thing is take care of you more so than anything else. This is a very stressful, difficult life. I mean, this is just the way things are. So many responsibilities people have. And every now and then, the one thing that seems to slip is you. So pay attention, focus in on you every now and then so that you make sure you're taking care of you. I think the biggest thing, too, also is you've got to have the right kind of people around you. You know, if you don't, it makes things even harder.
Yeah, number one, take care of you is not selfish. It's smart.
Yes.
You have to do that. Number two, you are the product of the five people you spend the most time with, right? You are who you roll with. You know, your life growing up is really fascinating because your dad was the baseball guy. Mm-hmm. Your mom was the football person. Your dad was away in the military. So how did this all work as a family? What was that dynamic like?
You know, growing up in a military family, the dynamic was dad had a duty to do to this country. And mom was there to support him. So when Dad was around, he was up in front of everything. But when Dad wasn't, Mom took over. Mom was amazing. She really was. I mean, she was a baseball coach at one time, pitching batting practice to us.
Wow.
Another time she was running tackling drills with the boys. You know, I mean, she had four boys to work with. So there was a lot of work to be done. And then at times she was there, the caring, loving mom. And then she was the disciplinarian when Dad wasn't around. So she really did the duty. That's why for me, you know, winning this award from USA, the Salute to Service Award, more so than anything else, means a lot, because I saw it. I saw people that were committed to serving our country, and then also saw people that were willing to give the ultimate sacrifice. And in some cases, I did know some folks that did give the ultimate sacrifice. So to me, giving back to them, serving our military community, to me is very important.
All right, so I want to ask you about your dad in 1 second, but the medallion, exactly what is that? And to win this award, what does it represent to you?
Well, it's designed in the shape of a challenge coin. Challenge coins were made out of brass back in the day, and they were given, as respect, out of pride, out of just simply saying congratulations, well done. And so it was a sense of pride. So for me to get this thing shaped and designed like a challenge coin, it means an awful lot. It really does.
Ron Rivera joining us. You talked about what your mom was like. Hey, look, for instance, I'm a baseball dad. Both my kids play baseball. Mm-hmm. After every game, we talk about the game, right? Mm-hmm. And they're more eager to talk about the game when they play well. If your dad wasn't around and you played baseball, you played whatever sport, was your mom there to break down the games with you the games?
Yeah, mom really knew. Yeah, she knew sports. She knew the game. She grew up predominantly in football, but she loved baseball. I think it was 1987, I think it was, or 86, when Harry Carey was still alive. Harry Carey had the Harry Carey restaurant. So after one of our games, we decided we're going to dinner at Harry Carey's. Maitre D comes up and says, hey, Mr. Carey's here. We'd like to know if you'd like to dine with him.
Wow.
So we go in to have dinner. My mom starts talking baseball with Harry Carey.
Incredible.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I said, Mom, I said, you know Harry Carey? She says, well, yeah, Ronnie, we used to listen to him on the Armed Forces Radio.
Amazing.
When we were overseas. So, she knew baseball.
Did mom have a pop with Harry Carey?
Yep. She had a rum and Coke,
He's the best. That's awesome. So, that's what your mom was like when your dad was away. And then, I'm sorry, but when your mom passed away, what was your dad like?
Mom passed away recently, and being around dad, in fact, I was with him for his 87th birthday a few weeks ago. He was, he's kind of found a new routine. He hasn't forgot mom that's for darn sure, but he's really kind of, been himself. He's really kind of shown a true appreciation of everybody being around. In fact, just before we left, Stephanie and I, my wife and I, we went to dinner with my brothers and their family. And afterwards, I drove dad home and dropped him off, and he looked at me and said, Ronnie, this is family. This is what it's all about.
How long did it take him to figure that out, do you think? That is what it's all about.
I think after he retired from the military, after 32 years, he and mom did a lot of traveling together. They would come to my football games when I played for the Bears and stuff. And, he really showed this true appreciation of being together. He's from Puerto Rico. He left the island, and he never went back to live there full time with his brothers and sisters. And so his real, being family, immediate family was in California. And that's where he stays, and that's where he is right now.
So, Ron, really quickly, does he talk about his military experiences? I know, because we don't get it. We can't relate to it. And a lot of times, guys do not want to talk about it. Is he pretty open about that?
For the longest time, I never really heard him say anything. But when I was being recruited collegiately, one of the coaches that was recruiting me had served in Vietnam. And so when this recruiter came to the house and the two of them were sitting down and my dad realized, they started talking. It was the first time I ever heard him talk about some of the stuff that went on. And, for dad, there was, the loss of some of these people he was close to, some of these men that served and gave the ultimate sacrifice. And so to hear him talk about that for the first time was kind of really an awakening for me, the realization that, because you don't see it. But when you hear somebody describe it or talk about it, it is eye-opening.
One more thought about that, because he served in Vietnam. Do you remember what it was like, or did he talk about what it was like when he came back? I asked the question because when I went to UC Santa Barbara, there was a class on Vietnam, the first one of its kind in the entire nation. And I remember what we learned was a lot of these guys came home And not only did they not get thank you, but there was a lot of what were you doing there anyway, and you lost, and people really struggled greatly with that. Did he struggle with that?
No, he didn't struggle with it because he was a career. He stayed in it.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, every time he came home, we all were there.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
He had this big family support. But I have spoke in front of some groups. I've spoke to a group of the 101st Airborne, a group of those gentlemen who served so valiantly for us in Vietnam. And I opened it up by saying thank you and welcome home.
What did that mean to them?
It meant a lot to them. It really did. I mean, there's some really tremendous men that when you sat down and you listened to their stories and you realized all they were doing was their duty, what they believed was right, more so than anything else. You know, they were there doing their duty. And that's one of the things that drives me in terms of, you know, salute to service, is because I really do feel that we need to give back to these folks, to show these folks that we really do truly appreciate who they are for us, for our country, for what they meant to our society.
So a final thought. In your experience, is that how you should address folks in the military? Thank you and welcome home?
Yes.
Is that what they want? Just an acknowledgement? Thank you?
Yes. That I think that just being appreciated means an awful lot. When I was a kid, again, we were stationed in Fort Gulick, Panama. The USO would come, and they would be an entertainment group, and everybody would go. The entire base would be there watching them put on their show, and we'd start applauding. And the first thing they would say, no, thank you guys. Thank you for being here.
Mm-hmm. Ron Rivera, he is the recipient of the 12th annual Salute to the Service Award presented by the USAA. It is a tremendous honor. Coach of the Commanders as well. Ron, I appreciate you. I appreciate our friendship, our relationship. You have always been accessible to me in this program, and I appreciate that so much. Congrats on that award.
No, thank you, Jim.